This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., wealth management specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
President spoke in the Oval Office earlier today. He was swearing in Judge Jeanine Pirro as the new United States Attorney for D.C. And then he had a lot to say, including a reporter asked him a question of whether or not he was being a chicken when it came to tariffs. He did not like that question, obviously. And he got into Harvard in a big way. Harvard. And why Harvard is, and I'll quote the president on this, right now, Harvard is it's getting its ass kicked, all right? That's what he said. I didn't say it. He said it. So don't get mad at me. He said it, but we have the audio for you, which we'll share with you. And in New Jersey, there's an issue about this this farmland, which they want to seize under eminent domain and turn it into affordable housing. Affordable housing. Affordable housing. But anyway, I'll tell you one thing. And that is that that's a joke to me and so wrong what they're doing over there. And we're going to get into that as well as we go on today with all of this. So and then, you know, this whole issue of the Democrats and trying to learn how to talk like men and man speak and this idea that they don't know how to talk like men. And so they have to find a way to talk like men. The whole thing is so stupid, but it shows you just how out of touch this party is. That they have to look at men as some sort of a weird kind of foreign species to begin to understand that. And that's just for years. They went after men and they belittled us and they told us we were the problem. And they also tried to take away our jobs. And I cannot emphasize that enough to you. They kept trying to take away our jobs and they kept doing a lot of that. And then there's a story of the Secret Service, a couple agents who were fighting at former President Barack Obama's house. Now, I'm saying former. So Jimmy Matthews does not get upset. But anyway, these agents were fighting outside Obama's house, and there were two women in the middle of the night. One woman said she was going to whoop the other woman's ass. Again, don't get mad at me. That's just what was said on the audio of the call to the supervisor. And so our friend Susan Crabtree has been documenting this and how this is really what it comes down to. It really is about the DEI stuff. You know, and I said that on Newsmax today, shameless plug. And I'm on there with this guy, and I never heard of him. I don't know, some Democrat strategist. And he's like, oh, I think it's too soon to blame DEI, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, actually, I didn't get a chance to respond. But in my head, I was thinking, well, I'm not blaming DEI. I'm saying that this is one of those questions that needs to be answered regarding DEI under the previous administration, because we know that that was their focus because they said it was their focus. They wanted to bring on more women and they wanted to bring on more diversity, equity, and inclusion. Those were their goals. I didn't make up the goals. They made up the goals. But don't you love that with the left? It's like when something goes wrong and you question whether or not it was because of DEI, they're like, "Duh, it's too soon to blame it on DEI." But you're not saying that it's too soon to say that it is DEI, because you don't want to acknowledge the fact that it even possibly could be DEI, because that just smashes the whole fantasy in your head that this is going to lead to better outcomes for everybody. So immediately you're like, well, it can't be DEI. It's like, it can't be the COVID lab leak. It can't be that. Well, how do you know? I'm just saying, you can't say it's DEI. Now, for the record, I didn't say it was DEI. I said we have to examine the DEI hiring. Well, it's too soon to say this is because of DEI. Well, no, but you're not denying that they were hiring because of diversity, equity, and inclusion, right? Like, that was, you guys were proud of that fact. You were bragging about that. This was a, and you're still battling over it. To this day, you're still battling over it. So I don't really understand what you're complaining about here. Oh, you're trying to suggest that no bad outcomes could come from DEI. Is that what it is? And then I'm suggesting that when a bad outcome happens, it's because of DEI. But you would suggest that if a good outcome happens, it's because of DEI, right? A more diverse workforce, DEI. A workforce that looks like America, one of those dumb phrases of the left. Well, that's DEI. A very positive thing, they would say. But what if it wasn't DEI? You see, they never do that. They never do the opposite. They never go, well, but what if those people were just hired on merit? No. They go, no. See, that's how you get them right there. If I had had more time and my great mental skills, my mental judo could have worked. But, you know, that's the problem with TV. You know, these hits are so short. You wait around. It's hours to get ready, and you've got to put on the makeup, and then it lasts 3 minutes, and you're done. You know, your whole day is kind of shot. I'm not complaining, but I'm just saying how it is. But you don't always get the chance to push back the way you want to push back. But just one guy is like, well, it's too early to say the two Secret Service agents who were women were fighting outside of Obama's house, and that's because of DEI. But if a year ago you had said there are two women guarding Barack Obama, that guy would have been like, that's DEI at work right there. That's the great work of DEI. That's because DEI has helped us create a workforce that looks like America and isn't just a bunch of old white dudes. So then if a year later, those very two people fight and you go, well, that's because DEI. They go, you cannot. Too soon to blame it on DEI. All right. You can't have it both ways. But they want to have it both ways on everything, including rewriting the legacy of Joe Biden. So tomorrow, James Comer is going to bring in a bunch of people. Well, they have to tomorrow to answer the subpoena. And this includes a former White House physician and the guy who may have been the Kaiser Soze of this the entire time. I mean, the guy behind the guy behind the actually the guy behind the girl behind the doctor. Doctor, you always have to say it by law, Dr. Jill Biden. It turns out that his chief of staff, or her chief of staff, excuse me, might have been the most powerful guy, a scary figure, a shadowy figure. That's according to a new Project Veritas video that came out a short time ago, where they have David Hogg, one of the DNC vice chairs on there, essentially saying that. That, yeah, Dr. Jill's chief of staff was this dude who was scary and was in control of everything. But what James Comer is going to do tomorrow, and he's saying that every day more and more things come out that show that we don't have any idea who really was behind the use of the auto pen and these executive orders. In fact, a little bit later in the show today, we'll be joined by our buddy Daniel Turner, because his group, Power of the Future, put out a really important report today on the fact that they have done research into executive orders that the Biden administration did, and found that there were no public comments or anything around them. So Turner's whole point is, well, hey, isn't this kind of proof that maybe Biden didn't know what executive orders he was signing? It's a very good point and something has to be looked into. And we're going to look into it because James Comer is going to hold these people accountable and responsible. And there's several of them within the previous Biden White House. But here's the key takeaway for you on all this. The key takeaway is this. These people were willing to keep a literally dead president in the White House just to keep Donald Trump out. And they justified it by saying that Trump was such an existential threat to democracy, to America, blah, 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 the next Hitler, blah, 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 that they would keep a comatose president. And then they had this whole plan where they would every now and then show him to let people know he was still alive. I mean, it was literally going to be a weekend at Bernie's president. A weekend at Bernie's White House where they were going to once in a while drag him out to show everybody. And then I guess they'd use his arms to wave him and use his head. But that was their plan. And they weren't hiding this in the second term. This is what they were going to do. And the justification, of course, for it was they were going to say, well, because Trump would be so much worse than having a literal dead guy in there. So let's start there with cut 16, shall we? The second term plan was to have a proof of life occasionally while aides ran the show. Cut 16.
You quote a longtime Biden aide basically admitting he shouldn't be running again. They said to you on page 85, he just had to win and then he could disappear for 4 years. He'd only have to show proof of life every once in a while. His aides could pick up the slack. Who would have been running the White House in a second Biden term?
Well, this person went on to say that when you're voting for a president, you're voting for the aides around him. But these aides were not even Senate confirmed aides. These are a White House aides. These were unelected people. And one of the things that really, I think, comes out in our reporting here is that if you believe, and I think a lot of these people do sincerely believe, that Donald Trump was and is an existential threat to democracy, you can rationalize anything, including sometimes doing undemocratic things, which I think is what this person is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can do undemocratic things, whatever you got to do. All right. Whatever you got to do, just do it because you got to save the world from Trump. So we'll prop up a president. We'll pretend he's alive. We'll show proof of life every now and then. We'll bring him to the Truman balcony, maybe hold his arm up and kind of wave to the crowd. And then every now and then they could do photo ops. But they would be running the country with this shadow Politburo government that they would have. And that's why, you know, this piece that was written that said Biden is the ultimate deep state president. Biden was the ultimate deep state president because here's a guy that you could literally. We used to joke. We had a puppet. We still have a puppet. We have a puppet. We would bring it out to the Grand Hotel of Cape May. And the whole joke early on in the administration was that Biden was a puppet of Bernie Sanders and Biden was a puppet of the extreme left. But now, but then literally now, as all this comes out, which we knew, by the way, Biden was a puppet because they were running the government. And they had this puppet there who was just there to show that he was alive as they did all these things behind the scenes. And so if they were willing and they're openly saying that they were willing to do this for a second term, doesn't it make logical sense to say that it's entirely possible they did this in the first term? In other words, these were not people that were making great moral objections to doing this by saying, well, this is undemocratic. This is not in the spirit of the republic. You can't have a president who's not functioning. That's not fair to the people. And it's antithetical to the Constitution. The 25th Amendment says we have to remove him. You didn't have people standing up and saying this is wrong. You had people who were saying this is what we have to do. So then doesn't it follow? Doesn't reason and logic follow that they may have done that in Biden's first term? From however long. And they said, we got to run the country because this guy's he's the only one who could beat Trump. And Trump's an existential threat. So we got to take care of it. We'll sign the pardons. We'll sign the executive orders. We'll sign everything. We'll handle the nukes, whatever it takes. That's what we got to do. Because none of these people had any moral quandary whatsoever about allowing a comatose president and then showing signs of life about this comatose president and then turning around and then running the country, even though nobody elected them to do so. I mean, that's amazing. Now, one of them, like, you know, maybe this is not a good idea. Were they going to all pull a collective George Costanza and turn around and go, ah, you know, I wish somebody had told me. I got to be honest with you. Was that wrong? I wish I knew. None of these people thought it would be wrong to just have a shadow government that was running the country while the president was so gone mentally that you would just have to show proof of life every now and then so that they wouldn't 25th Amendment him so you could control the country? And the answer is no, there's no moral quandary because these are power-hungry people who wanted the power and they love the power. They want the power, they love the power, and they're going to hold on to the power, and they're never going to let that power go, ever, ever. And then they turn around and they go, you know, this whole thing, you know, this, some of these cabinet members, I mean, they thought he was up to handling everything. Because we heard them all say it. In July, we heard Little Pete Buttigieg say, oh, don't you believe me. Biden can handle anything. Well, it turns out that was also a lie as well. Because the other guy who wrote the book, Alex Thompson, went on Michael Smirkanish's show Saturday morning on or Sirius XM or whenever he went on it. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But he said to him, the cabinet members were not confident that Biden was up to handling the 2 a.m. crisis. Well, no freaking kidding. Got 15.
I say that many senior members of the Democratic Party and his own administration feel otherwise. I mean, we're not alleging any of this. This is based on over 200 interviews of almost all Democrats grappling after the election with what happened. So I would say a few things. Members of the cabinet believe that because of Biden's age, that senior people in the administration, people like Ron Klain, were able to steer the Biden administration more to the left of where Biden had been for most of his career. We have Senator Mark Warner in the book, Democrat of Virginia, saying that he, during a foreign policy, national security conversation, they believed that Biden was not really up to snuff on all the issues. We also have Senator Michael Bennett of Colorado, a Democrat, also probably running for governor, believing that Biden's age made him unable to handle the immigration portfolio and all the factions of the Democratic Party, which led to such incoherence with the border and immigration policies of this country. Now, the Biden people can disagree, but these are senior Democrats in the administration and in the Senate, where Joe Biden served for 36 years, that just disagree.
But no 2 a.m. phone call came that he couldn't respond to use that example.
Well, we talked to two cabinet members that believed that he wasn't up to that. If the 2 a.m. crisis phone call, they said, like, maybe he could have done it, but they did not have confidence that he was at every single day capable of responding to a national security crisis at 2 a.m. And just because that 2 a.m. crisis did not happen doesn't mean that it was not irresponsible in the views of these senior members of his own administration.
So, let's think if the 2 a.m. crisis had happened and all these people knew how bad he was and didn't do anything about it, even though they had a responsibility under the 25th Amendment of the Constitution. Hey, the 25th Amendment's not just there for, you know, blanks and giggles. It's there for this reason. And all these people have a duty and they all take an oath and they swear an oath to the Constitution. And the vice president takes an oath and swears an oath to the Constitution. And the Constitution has an amendment in there, the 25th Amendment, which is literally for this purpose. And so these people had a responsibility to deal with the fact that the president was comatose and that they could not trust that he could handle a 2 a.m. phone call if it ever came, or even a 2 p.m. phone call. I mean, it's like crises just happen in the middle of the night. It can happen around any time. And they said Biden was his best between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Okay, so if at 9:45 the crisis came, would they just wait 15 minutes? Is that how it worked? No, these people had a responsibility. They took an oath to the Constitution and they failed to do their duty and remove the president of the United States. And worse, they covered it up, and worse, they lied to us about it. And now everybody's turning around and acting like we all should have known this. And all these people who are coming forward and telling these authors these things, you people were complicit in the greatest political cover-up of our lifetime. And thank God there was no crisis that they couldn't handle. But we don't know which ones they did, and they're not telling us about. That's why Comer is right to bring these people in front of his committee. It's exactly what needs to happen. And he needs to make sure that these people answer under oath exactly what took place. That's what has to happen. And I don't want to hear from any of these people who think to themselves, well, it's a water under the bridge. It is not water under the bridge, because a lot of these executive orders are still on the books. These pardons are still on the books. Pardons for people like Fauci and Hunter Biden and other people. They're all on the books. So what I'd like to know is, and I think what we'd all like to know, is what happens. Well, here's what James Comer wants to find out. This is cut number 12 from Newsmax today. Take a listen.
Well, we're starting at the bottom, and these employees that we're bringing in, the four employees, are the ones that we believe actually operated the auto pen. We're starting with them. We're going to find out who gave them the authority to stick executive orders and pardons in the auto pen and press the power button and sign Joe Biden's signature. We believe this will lead to the higher up people, the Klains and the others that have been mentioned as people who are actually running the country while Joe Biden was in his mental decline. So we're going to try to get the truth to the American people. And at the end of the day, this is very important because so much of what was done at the end of the Biden administration was done by executive order using that auto pen. We don't believe that would be valid.
Yeah.
And that's important because Donald Trump's in court for a lot of things that he campaigned on, a lot of draining the swamp type issues. And they're being held up because of these executive orders that were authorized perhaps by unnamed bureaucrats and signed with an auto pen.
Bingo. Exactly right. So he's trying to undo the things that were done by these unnamed, unaccountable, unelected bureaucrats. We assume that were done at the behest of the president of the United States of America. But based on the fact that these people were willing to have this shadow Weekend at Bernie's presidency in the second term, we have to assume they were going to do that and maybe did that in the first term. That's what logic requires. If people are willing to do certain things that are wrong in the future, how do you know they're not doing them in the present? If I say to you, I'm willing next year to cheat on my taxes because next year is going to be a tough year for us. Well, how do I know? How do you know I'm not doing it now? If I'm willing to cross that line, I'm willing to cross that line. And these people were willing to cross that line, that moral, ethical, unconstitutional line, because they justified it with Trump bad. So then let's all assume then that from at least June until the end of his term, or maybe even before June, maybe before that debate, maybe before he dropped out, they figured we'll have to be the ones to run the country. We'll show him. We'll show people he's out there. But we have to be the ones running this. And this cabal of people made this determination and did these things, partly knowing that they could and there'd be no consequences to it. So they wouldn't have to worry about getting the president's okay, which is a big freaking deal. And partly because they figured, well, we have to do these things now because this guy's going to run for re-election, even though he's really not up to for the job. So we've got to act like this is a functioning government. Now, I think that they had this fake government in place for a while. And I think you'd have to be a fool to think that they were prepared to do this for the second term, but weren't doing it for the first term. And I'm not a fool. And that's the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Hello.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire. The fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus T&Cs apply.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Going on, we're going to chat with our buddy Daniel Turner a little bit later after his watchdog group found no evidence that Joe Biden ever spoke publicly about any of the executive orders that he signed vis-a-vis the environment. So that'll be a great conversation you don't want to miss. That's making a lot of news today, so good for him. And the other part of this, too, is Susan Crabtree is going to come on and talk to us about the Secret Service and why this fight outside Obama's house may have a lot to do with DEI and what's happening at the Secret Service and why we still don't have answers on things like Butler, for example, and why we don't have answers on, well, and actually really why the morale within the Secret Service is so incredibly low, because that's also a thing. So we'll talk about that as we go on. I was thinking, as I could listen to the president today, he swears in Judge Jeanine, and then he comes out and he starts answering questions from the press. Anyway, and I was thinking, this idea of Putin and all the problems that he's causing for this negotiation right now. And the president said, I really can't tell, you know, if Putin actually wants to end this war. Let's go there. Let's cut number 30 now. The president was asked that today. He swears in Judge Jeanine. He's the press in the Oval Office. And then he proceeds to answer some questions. Cut 30.
Do you believe the Russians are being disrespectful when they say that your criticisms of Putin are simply an emotional response? And do you still believe that Putin actually wants to end the war?
I can't tell you that, but I'll let you know in about 2 weeks. Within 2 weeks, we're going to find out very soon. We're going to find out whether or not he's tapping us along or not. And if he is, we'll respond a little bit differently. But it'll take about a week and a half, 2 weeks. We have Mr. Witkoff is here, who's doing a phenomenal job, is dealing with them very strongly right now. They seem to want to do something, but until the document is signed, I can't tell you. Nobody can. I can say this. I can say this, that I'm very disappointed at what happened a couple of nights now, where people were killed in the middle of what you would call a negotiation. I'm very disappointed by that. Very, very disappointed.
All right. Now, the other issue here is the One Big Beautiful Bill, which I have to tell you, a lot of Republican senators, conservative senators, are not voting for. In the current form right now, the way it stands, and Elon Musk came out and criticized it. So now the left loves him again. Now, they hated him 5 minutes ago. I guess now people are going to want to start buying Teslas again. I don't know. It's just funny. It's just funny how this works. But here's Elon Musk. This is what he said regarding the bill. Remember, this is the guy who found all this Doge, all of these, the waste, the fraud, the abuse. And then you have all these Republicans who refuse to codify this into law and vote for this stuff. And it makes no friggin' sense whatsoever. You have the waste. You have the abuse. You have the spending on nonsense. Well, then get rid of it. It's like NPR and PBS. I don't understand why we're still funding that. President has to fight this out in court. Congress, just cut it. Cut the funding. Cut the funding for all of this stuff. And everything that Doge found, cut every single cent of it. And that's not happening here in this one big, beautiful bill. And I can't listen to Mike Johnson and his nonsense anymore about how great this bill is. This bill is not great. This bill is not great. I forget who said it, but the swamp is winning right now in a big way. And that's because you have so many Republicans in the House of Representatives who are moderates, who don't want to see all these cuts, and they're afraid to go home and campaign on them. They're afraid to be tough. They've learned no lessons in this from this past election. But at least you have some senators who are speaking out about this and saying what needs to be said here. Is if you want to rubber stamp this, then Republicans are going to lose the midterms, and that's just the end of it. It's going to happen. And you have the Democrats in charge, and nothing will get done. They'll impeach the president. Yeah, they may not remove him from office, but they'll completely derail the Make America Great Again agenda. Stops dead in its tracks in January of 2029, dead in its tracks, or 2027, excuse me. And then he will have had 2 years to be president, and that's it. Because the next 2 years will be a complete waste of time for everybody. And money, too. This is what Elon said regarding the bill. Cut number one.
So, you know, I was like disappointed to see the massive spending bill, frankly, which increases the budget deficit, not just decrease it, and undermines the work that the Doge team is doing.
I actually thought that when this big, beautiful bill came along. I mean, like, everything he's done on Doge gets wiped out in the first year.
I think a bill can be big or it can be beautiful, but I don't know if it could be both. My personal opinion.
So the president was asked to respond to that today, and he's not wrong. They have to get this done. We have to get these tax cuts finalized. It has to happen. But understand something. That's only one part of this bill. The tax cuts are one part of the bill. Then there's a whole lot of spending and adding to the deficit and the debt that's in the other part of the bill. This is not just simply a matter of voting for or against making the Trump tax cuts permanent. If that were the case, there would be no issue here. But they're putting it all together in this one big reconciliation bill. Understand, the reason why they're doing that is because the vote threshold in the Senate is only 51 for that, not 60, which is key. But at the same time, you got to get this right. So here's the president responding to that. Cut 31.
President Elon Musk in a television interview criticized the one big, beautiful bill, saying he was disappointed it didn't cut enough, essentially, that it undercut the Doge efforts. What's your reaction to that?
Well, my reaction is a lot of things. Number one, we have to get a lot of votes. We can't be cutting. You know, we need to get a lot of support. And we have a lot of support. We had to get it through the House. The House was, we have no Democrats. You know, if it's up to the Democrats, they'll take the 65% increase. You know, if that doesn't get approved, this country is going to have a 65% increase in taxes and lots of other problems, big problems, almost bigger than that. But we'll have a 65% increase as opposed to the largest tax cut in the history of our country. We will be negotiating that bill, and I'm not happy about certain aspects of it, but I'm thrilled by other aspects of it. That's the way they go. It's very big. It's the big, beautiful bill. But the beautiful is because of all of the things we have. The biggest thing being, I would say, the level of tax cutting that we're going to be doing. We're going to make people really be able to, we'll have the lowest tax rate we've ever had in the history of our country, and tremendous amounts of benefit are going to the middle income people of our country, low and middle income people of our country. So we're going to see what happens, because the Senate, as you know, is negotiating with us, and they have to then go back to the House, and, you know, it's got a way to go. But I have to say, Speaker Johnson and Thune have done an incredible job. John Thune has done a fantastic leader, Thune, a fantastic job. And they're working together with me and others. And I think we have an amazing, if we pull this off, remember, we have zero Democrat votes because they're bad people. There's something wrong with them.
This is not an easy process. Clearly, here's Senator Rick Scott and why he's a no in the current form of the one big, beautiful bill. Trump ally, obviously, cut number five.
Look, I think all the Ron Johnson, Rand Paul, Mike Lee, all of us, we want a bill to pass. We want a good bill. We want to build a secure border. We want President Trump's agenda. We want to make sure we plus up the military. We want to make sure all the DOGE opportunities to reduce costs are part of this bill, and then this bill to the extent we can. But guess what? The Democrats have increased the budget by over 50% in the last 5 years. The House bill cuts the spending by less than 2% over the next 10 years. It doesn't balance the budget. It isn't even close to balancing the budget. So there's a whole bunch of us. We are going to fight like hell to balance this budget. I mean, you know, so we've got to get rid of the Green New Deal money. We've got to say, if you don't want to work, why do you get free health care paid by somebody else? Why do poorer states pay for the health care of citizens of richer states? I mean, there's so many things that there's no common sense here. So I think we're all going to fight to make sure we pass a bill that puts us in the process to balance the budget. And we can balance the budget quickly. You balance your budget. Part of it's going to be through this reconciliation bill with the mandatory, and part of it will be through the budget process in September through discretionary spending. But we're going to get this done.
So, Senator, would you say without any changes at its current composition, would you vote no?
Oh, absolutely. I'd vote no. This bill doesn't have it. If they brought it to the floor right now, there's not a chance it'll get the 51 votes it needs. So look, we all know we have to balance the budget. Look, we know that it's getting harder to sell our treasuries.
I was with Charlie Kirk in that interview. Here's a short clip of Senator Ron Johnson. And then when I get back, I'll get into more detail about his point here. But this is with Maria Bartiromo this morning, cut seven.
Well, DOGE has shown us the way. You have to go line by line, contract by contract. I think a small business probably spends more time going line by line through its budget than Congress does through a $7,000 billion a year budget.
That's the problem, is that we're not making these DOGE cuts permanent, and that's the issue. We've identified them, but then they're not doing anything in the House with the DOGE cuts, and that is a major problem. All right, so who's going to stop the rain? I don't know. But what I do know is that if you have water problems in your backyard, you need Lou Vargo and Garden State Earthworks to help you today, because these water problems only get worse. They never get better, and they cause lots of damage. And it's a very expensive fix if you don't deal with it as soon as possible. So here's what you want to do. All right, now Lou's not expensive, but the problem, the damages that it creates, that's where the expense comes in. I mean, destroying your foundation, your basement, your pool liner, hardscaping, and then, of course, water just ponding in the backyard where mosquitoes breed and it just becomes an absolute mess. So here's what you want to do. You want to call them today at 856-848-4444. 856-848-4444. With all this rain we've been having and more in the way, they're busy. But you tell them I sent you, they'll make you a priority. Or you can go to GardenStateEarthworks.com. I've used them twice, two different homes. They drained the water out of my basement in the first house. And when I met Lou, he said, you'll never have another drop of water in this basement ever again. Never did. And then this house, we move in, just my luck, right? Backyard is like a freaking swamp. Well, you can't have that. It's not good. So they drain the water away again. And that's what they do. And they're the best at what they do. So call them today. 856-848-4444 or GardenStateEarthworks.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This game has just rained out, by the way. They've moved it to tomorrow night. Makes me nervous because I got tickets for Friday night's game, and the weather looks terrible for Friday, like total rain, 1.1 inches for the day. Oofa. So, yeah. But tonight's game is tomorrow night. And then if Friday night's game gets rained out, I guess they move it to Saturday. I don't know. Justin, how does that work, you know?
Normally, they'll try and push it to the next day. But if there's scheduling conflicts, like the Phillies have to travel, they'll push it to a later day in the summer.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, I'd rather them do that because I don't want to get wet. You know what I mean? So, fine with me. It's okay if they do that, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, all right. Well, I feel like we live in Seattle right now. Doesn't it seem like that? It's so gloomy and, you know, I don't know. I don't like it.
I've been back for a week and a half, and I think it's rained basically every single day I've been here. Maybe not constantly, but there was at least a drizzle at some point.
Do you feel like maybe it's your fault?
Well, you didn't have to blame it on me. I was just sympathizing with you. This stinks. I would like some sun.
I'm just saying, you come back, Matt DeSantis, and it doesn't stop raining. You and Harvard are the problem. You went to Harvard. Harvard is the problem. Harvard is getting its ass kicked. President's quote, not mine, and we are getting our butts kicked with the rain. So you see the correlation there? I do.
Well, I wish I didn't, but yeah, I see your point.
It's a very obvious point. Yeah, as the mascot of Harvard, how do you feel about all this?
I was not the mascot of Harvard. As far as I know, that school doesn't even have a mascot. Not that I attended a ton of sporting events, but I never saw one mascot ever. Mm-hmm. And anyway, as far as how I feel, that school is not exactly willing to embrace a diversity of thought. There was a famous poll conducted by the Harvard Crimson in 2023 that tried to gauge what percentage of the faculty was conservative and what percentage was liberal or progressive. I don't have the stat off the in front of me, but off the top of my head, I think it was something like 2.5% of the Harvard faculty openly identified as conservative, whereas 77% openly identified as liberal or very liberal.
Wow. See that? Well, and that does not surprise me at all, by the way. Not in the least. Well, the president was asked about Harvard today, and he said it's been a disaster. Let's start with cut number 32 from his little impromptu Oval Office confab with the press. Cut 32.
See, look, Harvard has been a disaster. They've taken $5 billion plus. $5 billion. Nobody knew that they were making this cut. If we didn't do this, nobody would have. We would have never found this out, Pam. They're taking $5 billion, and I'd rather see that money go to trade schools. And by the way, they're totally anti-Semitic at Harvard, as you know, and some other colleges too. In all fairness to them, and it's been exposed, very exposed. And I think they're dealing very badly. Every time they fight, they lose another $250 million. Yesterday, we found another $100 million. And they have, you know, they have a fund, $52 billion. All right. They get a lot of that from the United States. And I think it's ridiculous. I think this everyone's coming up to me saying we love the idea of trade schools with that kind of money and money from others, but money from them. You can have the best trade schools anywhere in the world. You give them to Iowa, Indiana, lots of good states, well-run states, and you give them the money. They can only be used for trade schools, and they'll teach people how to build motors and cars and AI. You know.
Sorry, Justin, you're incorrect.
Am
I? Your text. It's not correct.
What's the correct answer?
Well, Justin texted me and said the mascot of Harvard would be John Harvard, the pilgrim.
Oh, yeah, John Harvard. Yeah, the statue. But there's no maniac running around in, like, headgear or anything.
That's not true. That's you. Running around dressed up as John Harvard the Pilgrim, Matt DeSantis. No. Yes, it is.
I never saw anyone dressed as John Harvard the Pilgrim. I'm very familiar with the John Harvard statue in Harvard Square. People love to take pictures right next to that. They rub the foot. Some people pee on it, but that's the
right. What?
Yeah, it's a tradition.
That doesn't surprise me.
It's true.
What is wrong with you Ivy League weirdos?
Thank you.
Well, I didn't pee on it. I'm just saying some people do. That's why you actually shouldn't touch the foot if you're there. My recommendation, steer clear of it. But no, there's no – I never saw a mascot once.
I think what Justin just said, what's wrong with you Ivy League weirdos –
I didn't do it. I'm just saying some people do. Some people think
you are defending yourself a little too hard for my liking.
I agree.
I didn't use the mascot or the statue for anything other than a quick photo.
I bet you if Minnie's listening right now, or maybe Snow Bunny Gal, somebody probably in the Zioli Army has a picture of Matt DeSantis as the mascot of Harvard.
There's no mascot, I'm telling you. The only thing that I can
and
think
of. And with somebody peeing on his foot. I don't know if I could say that on the air, but.
No. Well, you just did.
Yeah.
Anyway, the only little sort of mascot I can think that the school has right now is Remy the Cat, which was like a little orange cat that would run around campus. People loved that cat. But there's no mascot.
I'm sure Minnie or Snowbody Gal or maybe Newman Price has a picture of Matt DeSantis dressed up as Remy the Cat running around and also tinkling on the foot of John Pilgrim or whatever his name was. We'll see. See if the photographic evidence comes to light during the show today.
I hope Remy's still around. I haven't been on the campus in a little while, but I hope Remy is still with us.
Well, Remy may get deported if Tom Homan has his way. If it turns out Remy's a foreign cat, no chance. Remy's got no chance. So the president also went on to talk about all the foreign students that were there and how many of them, and there's a lot of them that come to this country, and that's a real big part of the issue here. And he said, you know, Harvard is treating our country with great disrespect, and they're getting in deeper. Cut 33.
How will the confrontation with Harvard end? Do you foresee?
I don't know. Harvard's got to behave themselves. Harvard is treating our country with great disrespect, and all they're doing is getting in deeper and deeper and deeper. They've got to behave themselves. You know, I'm looking out for the country and for Harvard. I want Harvard to do well. I want Harvard to be great again, probably, because how could it be great? How could it be great when you have Harvard announced 2 weeks ago that they are going to teach remedial mathematics, remedial meaning they're going to teach low grade mathematics like 2 + 2 = 4. How did these people get into Harvard if they can't do basic mathematics? How did they do it? I mean, people with 1600 on their boards don't get in, and they're letting people in, and they're bragging about how they're teaching them basic mathematics. Where do these people come from? So we have to look at the list, and Harvard has to understand the last thing I want to do is hurt them. They're hurting themselves. They're fighting. You know, Columbia has been really, and they were very, very bad what they've done. They're very anti-Semitic and lots of other things. But they're working with us on finding a solution. And, you know, they're taking off that hot seat. But Harvard wants to fight. They want to show how smart they are. And they're getting their ass kicked.
He said it, not me. All right. That's his quote, not mine. There you go. All right. They are going to bring in Dr. Kevin O'Connor, the president's physician, former President Biden's physician, Neera Tanden, and a bunch of other people. I'll give you the details on that in the 4 o'clock hour as soon as we get back, because there's a lot to this cover up. And Daniel Turner is going to be here to tell you what his group found out as far as what they've uncovered regarding Biden's executive orders on climate change. So there's a lot to get to. We're just getting warmed up. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.